The weekend is here.
I like it.
And so is Triple M Footy.
And doesn't he love it?
You come here to escape the real world.
This is the Friday Huddle for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
We're living in strange times, but don't worry, because the Friday Huddle is still coming your way. The second game of the AFL season, I say this without a word of a lie, the Bulldogs players are signalling up to the box as they hear the intro. It is that quiet. They know the Friday Huddle is back. It is the Dogs taking on the Collingwood Football Club after Richmond got the job done. Nice show coming your way. Judge Juddy is in the house. Hello to you, Chris. The CEO of Collingwood, Mark Anderson, is here. Chris Grant, Dogs Footy Director. Nate's bringing back the top five. But times like these, you need a man to steer the ship through choppy waters. And the captain of this side is Luke Darcy. Hello to you, Darcy.
Hello, Howard. Great to be with you again tonight. And, wow, what an amazing time. And very excited that we are at Marvel Stadium. It is an eerie feeling, isn't it, all round? Even driving in, there's a sense of eeriness about it, Juddy, I would describe it for me. We know what's coming. We know that there's no people here, but it's unique.
I'll introduce the man that also in choppy times you need sound financial advice. He will give you that tonight, and amongst other things, the two-time Brownlow medalist, Chris Judge, is here. Hello, Juddy.
Hello, Howard. You're just struggling with a few of your words tonight, but we'll stick with you. And we are at war. We're at war against the virus. And another war has come across my desk just recently that involves somebody in this room.
Okay, that's another a nice teaser.
Our very own Damien Barrett has blocked Tom Brown on Twitter.
This is Damien.
Big news.
Why would you do that?
In this type of time, you need a voice of reason. He is our voice of reason, Damo. Good evening to you, surely.
Hello, boys. No, I haven't blocked him.
That's untrue, is it?
I might have muted him.
What's the difference?
I don't see what he posts.
Oh. Right.
Oh. No. Okay.
Feels like a block to me.
Wow. Is he on the boundary tonight?
I think Tommy's not with us tonight. I think he's done the...
Oh, he's been blocked from the boundary as well.
I'm not sure. Tommy's done the spreadsheets, and he's just keeping himself as far away from... Oh, I thought you were his mentor, Damor.
I just needed a break from some of the tweets that Tom was putting at us. There's a few things going on, as we know, and I didn't need Tom's view on everything.
I still like Tom,
and he's still one of the great operators, but just don't need to see his tweets for a while.
Still one man to introduce. The common man doesn't know what to do at this stage, and talking about common man, this is a man that's been hiding toilet paper, he's got mints under the stairs, and he's been buying up Finasteroid. Hey. He is our common man. Hello, Nathan Brown.
Bitcoin's up 17% today, Howard, and it's a good day. Good to see you've worn your son's T-shirt in there. It's the Youth 12. I didn't know they still made the Youth 12, but that is a tiny, tiny T-shirt on a very small
frame. Probably worth starting there. We know you're struggling to speak tonight. I don't know whether you're a little faint. But
you've been eating?
He is. You have 69 kilos, I'd give you a ring wet.
That's not true.
When we weighed you that day on the way to Geelong, it didn't get to 60.
I just told you boys I had a massive winter where I got up to 77 kilos. I lost 4 during the cricket season and 3 on my holiday. So I'm a fighting 72.
Is that stress? Are you okay? Are you eating well?
I'm fine.
Some sort of intervention?
What does he say to you?
She said, geez, I'm lucky to be married like you is what she said. I don't think it's come and tease Howie Day. I actually got it from the Collingwood coach downstairs. Said, gee, you look a bit skinny.
Well, who carries the luggage? When she buys you your clothes, you'll be able to get... They're only about $40, the piping hot T-shirts.
Who carries the luggage, Howie, in Costa Rica? Is it you or me?
That is a very good question. I reckon the kids have got a bag each. Eric has got the heavy stuff.
When you hear a noise downstairs at Ocean Grove, he goes down, doesn't she? You say, oh, there's no way I'm going down.
Turn my back on you, blokes. I didn't miss this over the summer.
Do you know the best part? He came in the most positive glass half full he's ever been in his life. Mate, you are living in a bubble.
He made a specific call to me about, because I'm doing Sundays with him and Ross and Duck, and he said, we do it a bit different on Sundays. He goes, it's my ship. And he goes, you are going to do it the way I want.
No, I did. I did ring you and say, welcome to Sunday. We do it a bit differently because we take football a little bit more seriously, Nathan. We probably don't get stuck into each other quite as much. Nice to have you here. Talking about negativity. A lot of negativity in the world at the moment, Luke. Give us something positive.
Something positive.
The footy started last night. Yeah, did you enjoy it? No crowd. Very different.
I did. I loved it. I thought it was in unique times. I think the AFL, who we are more than happy to lay into at times. I think they've taken on all the advice they possibly can. We don't know whether or not we're going to get another round away or even if this round will be completed. But I think there was some good leadership in the way the AFL handled themselves. Their messaging was good. They've collaborated well for mine. They've got right people around and That's a good news story.
It was a courageous decision, wasn't it, on the Wednesday night to commit to actually playing the game. It bucked the worldwide trend and even the national trend, apart from NRL, really, and soccer to a point to actually play during this period. But you're right, Darce, there is genuine apprehension as to what lies ahead. They've, I think, quite cleverly made this season a 153-game season as opposed to a 17-round season. It gives them scope to crunch games in. Look, if we somehow get through round one, Juddy, I reckon your team could be playing as early as next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, the Blues.
Potentially as early as that. All bets are off after round one. They will attempt to bring matches forward to as early as Wednesday, if it can be arranged.
And the Blues are currently second on the ladder too, which we shouldn't forget. So, I mean...
Wait, Judge, when we hear the terms that maybe this season will go into November, maybe it goes into December, the average person out there goes, that can't happen. We play September, maybe it goes into October, but do you think that maybe we could be playing football in December?
I think no one knows what's going to happen right now. We're dealing with something that's unprecedented. You probably have to go back to the Spanish flu over 100 years ago for anything near what we're dealing with now. So it's unprecedented. No one knows how it's going to pan out, but it was enjoyable to at least be able to watch some footy last night.
And if you get the glass half full going and you think of the opportunity in all this, there is excitement. Who's to say? Imagine if you're on in December and the grand final's been pushed back to then and we're all back around and there's been all these twists and turns and unique solutions. Wednesday night football kicks in. You'll find maybe things that carry the game forward for the next 10 or 20 years out of this if everyone gets their mind into that space.
There's an absolute commitment from everyone associated with the game to play right up until December 31 if that's what's required. But to Juddy's point, no one knows where this goes and whether they're going to get the capacity to even give it a crack.
You did last night on Triple M Footy. Nathan did a fine job alongside Barry Denn, a ripping call. What was it like to call with no crowd?
It was really strange, as you'd expect. Just absolutely no atmosphere. You could hear what the players were saying. You had the umpires' mics. So you could hear them running and panting. And that part of it I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed being able to hear the bench yell out to the players about where they needed to go. And you could almost hear players talking to each other on the wing or arguing against each other. So it was interesting in that form, but I didn't get to see it on TV. I'd ask everyone out there, what was it like on TV?
What do you think, Damo? You watched it?
Look, I thought all participants, and that's inclusive of the media coverage of it, just did an outstanding job. And fortunately, the ratings were reflected that way too, Howie. It was it was the best Friday, Thursday night opening to a season for 12 years on the numbers. So thankfully, the commitment to play and the dedication required to get it to the table was rewarded in that. And it's basically the only thing now that the whole industry is clinging on to, just playing these games, because if they don't, and even if they do get the 153 games out, there's a massive hundreds and hundreds of million dollar black hole.
There's so much to get through in this show. Various summer incidents. What are we going to talk about? We're talking about Judge Chella. We're talking about the fact that Nath broke his ankle. We're talking about the fact that you're fronting up a Lululemon campaign. Well, I think personally, it's the broken ankle first, because I got a text that Nath, as my young bloke would say, in inverted commas, fell down some stairs at night and broke his ankle.
That's exactly what happened.
Is it?
We've got a new puppy, a new Weimaraner, and it's not toilet trained yet, so I was just at Weimaraner.
What's that?
It's a dog.
What's it called?
It's a dog, but what is it?
It's just a dog, mate. It's like,
I've never heard of a Weimaraner.
Where's the breed come from, Nath?
Germany.
Okay.
It's a hunting dog. So when they used to shoot the ducks, the dog would go out, bring the duck back to the hunter. So that's how it worked. And now they're bred into families and they're quite good dogs. You got any questions for me, Duke?
No, I'm just picking up on the body language. When Nate's talking about this, he's not looking many people in the eye.
And he's lying.
He's starting to sweat a little bit.
Aggressive. He's
lying. And it was tight. It was 3 a.m.
Right.
And the bottom stair I missed. So I'd had a few up until about 10 people.
Were you wearing those Balenciaga shoes? I've got a big heel on them, Nate, and maybe caused you to topple over.
I'd been in bed and I missed the bottom stair. Simple as that. Rolled the ankle, thought it was rolled, heard a crack. Went and saw Doc White, who said, "You've cracked it in 3 spots," and that was on Christmas Eve. So there wasn't a lot going on around Christmas Eve, so I was lucky to get in.
And which of your teammates from the Friday Huddle gave you a genuine call to say, "I hope you're okay"?
Actually, the judge did.
Did he?
The judge did. I couldn't believe it. He actually rang up and said, "Say, you know, how are you?" You know, the rest of you actually took the piss out of me.
I'm there for people when they're down, Howard.
You are. You are. The Lululemon campaign, congratulations. It's gone to a whole another level. Some of the photographs floating around are extraordinary. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
What you're doing for women's and children's fashion.
They let a few staff go today, Lululemon.
That'd be
you've joined an elite group of people who use their family in photographs.
That would be a Lululemon t-shirt I'm wearing tonight,
right,
Howie. A fantastic apparel. They've got great technology, great design. We did this last year.
Oh, I think it's a new campaign, though.
Is there a new campaign going out? Jeez, I better get an invoice in if there's another one out there. Very, very successful, Howie. Very well received by people outside of this room because you guys are fools, idiots. Great team down there at Lululemon. Good gear. I encourage everyone to get behind it. It was a good experience.
And Judd Cella, well, I was unfortunately working. You gentlemen went.
Yeah.
It was a great night.
What was it like?
It was outstanding.
Was it, Damo? Yeah, because it's not normally your go.
Once you had those two beers just at the start, just to take the edge off, just,
right.
Like, you could realise it was actually a good
night. You know those high school movies you watch and they have a party at the parents' house and the parents are worth 50, 60 million, that sort of thing. And the house, you sit there and watch it on TV and go, how do people live in houses like this? I mean, what do they do? They've got east wings, they've got west wings, and this is what the Judd house was like. It was that big. And then they had the tennis court, and then they had another room out the back. But there was one little issue. They had such a big house, and the pool was like a little plunge pool. You couldn't have fit three people in there.
They have probably made a mistake on the pool, Judd.
What happened to the pool?
There's nothing wrong with the pool, Howard. The pool's exceptional.
It's half the size of a spa.
They get the wrong dimension.
It's a big spa. I think find the spa makes the pool look smaller. Isn't that Cello is brilliant, Howard? We've had to put the world tour on hold, obviously, with current issues. But I had a very big summer. Also managed to go to the Super Bowl, which was a real highlight.
Oh, you and Darce went, didn't you?
Darce, well...
Oh, I'm a bit of a veteran of the Super Bowl.
Actually make it in the end. He wanted to go.
Well, just hold that thought. You can tell us exactly what occurred.
When you've been to the New York Super Bowl and you've been to the Super Bowl.
We'll talk about that next.
You said you were going, Darce.
Super Bowl fatigue occasionally.
And maybe a little blowback as well on social media about Judge Cella. You might need to know about that as well.
Better say the Friday Huddle with the odd crew out than Judge Cella.
Before we get into shenanigans, a little bit of serious stuff. What is the latest just in the world of AFL, how they're dealing with this, how they're looking to plan ahead, or can you not plan ahead in such uncertain times?
Yeah, it's all of that. And there's not one scenario they haven't thrashed out to some degree, Howie. And any scenario you can think of asking, they would have thought about it. And they've been doing that now for a good 3 to maybe even 4 weeks. Look, as we said before, the round one will go as scheduled in the fixture. Beyond that point, even though they've said that they will go into round two as scheduled, I've got no doubt they'll bring matches forward if they can, and they are trying to. But the apprehension now lies with the fact we've still got 8 games, inclusive of tonight, to play just to complete round one. They'll let that happen and have the conversations maybe Sunday about bringing, I believe, the Carlton Bulldogs game, Juddy. That's the one you've got in round two. As early as Wednesday, there could be a Thursday night game as well, Friday night game. But I honestly think, Howie, they'll just tear the fixture up after round one. As you've caught up, and for those who haven't, only 17 matches in the season should they get to complete it. Each team will play each other once and it will come in all sorts of orders. You might find a situation where one particular team has played 4 more games than another at a given point in time, but the way they're tackling it is to get to the 153 games. And the unknown about it all is, I suppose, predicated on the contracting of the virus by a player. And there's a new policy, new positioning now by the AFL. Gillon McLachlan today on 3AW outlining what happens in that case.
If there is one positive test amongst one club, is that the end of the season?
We'll certainly stand down for a minimum of 30 days.
What, the whole competition?
Yeah. In terms of our protocol, we are not able to... You know, we need to make sure that our protocols are completely tight.
So that was initially 21 days, the stance from the AFL, now 30, and obviously we know that if it does get to 30, it puts in jeopardy the whole season. And yeah, look, every single person in football is nervous about even getting through round one.
Well, just the probability of what's occurring, it just sounds so limited. Chris, without giving away state secrets, you're obviously heavily involved. In fact, you're steering the ship at Carlton. Let's be honest, the financial implications for AFL clubs at the moment, as you see them and as Carlton sees them at the moment, like, what are the major concerns?
Oh, look, it's material, clearly, across the whole industry. We've got a board meeting on Monday. We've had a couple of meetings this week. So everyone's still getting their head around just what it means, to be honest. Needless to say, it's really significant and it's an industry-wide problem from every single club, but the entire competition as well.
Put your hand up, you want to say something?
I was waving at Matty Lloyd in the next box.
We all just stopped really waiting for you to talk.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you walk around the general community at the moment, you don't know whether to handshake to look people in the eye. I was thinking to myself today, Darce, it feels like you're meeting Nath 28 times a day. Because everything is just so socially awkward. It's like you met Brownie 28 times in one day.
Good point you make, isn't it? This is going. There's always winners and losers.
Yeah.
For Nate, the awkwardness is just status quo for you.
He hasn't noticed any difference with the non-handshake. Don't look someone in the eye. Make a ridiculous comment. Don't know what to say. It's just Nate all over.
Put your hand up and wave, which is the traditional radio meaning. I will talk and then not talk. Nate is not great radio.
Yeah, Lordo was waving to me, so I thought I'd wave back to him.
Sure, hey, Chris, you were just speaking before the break about your trip to the Super Bowl. I know a few of you boys had organised it. I know the hot breakfast was going. You were going along with Das and the crew. How was it? Did you boys get on well? How was the whole trip in general?
It was just incredible. And we all organised to go. Obviously, you weren't interested.
I was overseas.
With us.
That's true enough.
Purple
as well.
was otherwise occupied. Nate Brown was coming.
Yes,
he was.
At what has now been described as a mishap at 4 a.m. when he tripped on a step.
Still jury out, time on that story.
Which was okay because I knew I had my boy Duke.
That's it.
Duke
the leader.
Was coming. The skipper.
You told us you're going, Duke, at Judge Heller. You're looking forward to it.
But as we know, the world now, it's a moving...
Agile.
This was pre-Corona, the Super Bowl.
You've got to be flexible. You've got to be agile in this world.
This was pre-changing world.
Because Eddie went.
Eddie was there, I believe.
Yep.
I had my brother was
front
there.
Row
I've been to a few...
What's your understanding of what happened, Chris?
Well, when you've been to the New York Super Bowl and you've been sort of front row...
Even Matt was there, wasn't he?
My brother, the bear.
Hutchie was there.
Yeah. I've got to be honest, I was disillusioned, Howard. I mean, Duke, not only is our skipper, he's someone I looked up to as a young player, a hard man, someone who would stand up when the game was on the line.
Yep.
And
so no reason for that to change.
I'm reliably informed that there was a bit of a power tussle. And he
power struggle
on the shoulder by Triple M management and said, sit in the corner, baby. To which I would have expected Duke would have said, nobody sits baby in the corner. But that's exactly what happened, Duke.
I've seen you physically grab executives at organisations you work for. You once knocked out your best mate on a ground of football.
He had it coming for a long while.
Just to uphold the policy.
There is a maturing that comes in life, Damo, and as you get to the sweet spot of your life, which I feel like I'm approaching now, then these things mean less to you than they did in the past. It is possible that I've over-meditated.
You definitely said, I don't care what management says.
Swung the needle too far.
I will be
way.
In Miami. That's what you said.
You did say
it is possible that I've gone too far.
Were you told?
I need to recalibrate.
Were you told by those above you not to go?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yes,
there was no doubt.
Yes,
no,
yes, you were.
They're incorrect. 100% incorrect.
We put this to you at Judge Chella, and you said, under no circumstances will I not be going.
I'll give you the actual story if you want to listen.
Were you metaphorically slapped? Is that too much?
No. I had other trips. I was supposed to be in Japan for the House of Wellness. I was supposed to be in India a week ago, and those trips were going to take me away from the show that I do called The Hot Breakfast in the Morning. So there was just a judgment call.
How many times did you get face called from said Super Bowl operations?
Do you reckon I didn't get trolled by these idiots every second of every moment? And how much joy? They got more joy out of the fact that I wasn't there.
Mrs. Darcy, that was a typo. That was just a typo.
Can I read out what he sent to me from Miami? I don't think I can. No.
I thought it was a downhill slope after you missed the brief for Judge Chella. The clothing outfit, it was a Judge Chella theme, and you turned up as a street corner thug.
A Harlem gangster, we described.
The fact that I had two Uber drivers refuse to pick me, they came past, looked at me, and then went around the block and took off was a slight
concern. Triple M Footy Instagram, you can see the photo of what the boys wear. For those that aren't aware, Chris put on a music-themed party, which was a wonderful success. What did you actually go as?
I went as a
street thug,
a Harlem,
sort of a pimp. I think you describe what I.
How about you, Dave, mate? I'm interested in what you roll with.
No, I'm very conservatively, just a white t-shirt, bluish shirt, and a pair of shorts, Howie.
And you, Noodles?
Very similar, Damo.
I had a scarf around the neck, too.
Damo had glitter all over his face as well.
Right.
Which was a bit strange.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Mm. Wasn't a good
call. Outstanding party, Howie. Outstandingly catered for. It was a really outstanding. Fair to say, there were a lot of glamorous, a lot of highly Instagrammable people. We didn't fit into that crowd at all. It was very much who invited that crew in the corner. And there's a little, I'll be honest, I still, as I walked in on my own, thought, am I the only person who's dressed up? You know, you just had that moment where you wanted to make sure that you weren't on your own.
And you got it well with Juddy's mates too. Gareth was entertaining, wasn't he?
I can't recall Gareth.
He was loose.
Was he? Yeah.
I did touch on it. You know me, I love positives. But I saw there was a small section of the community that felt a little bit negative and felt that people couldn't have parties in their own homes, was the way I read it, Chris. Obviously, some of this came across your desk. I saw your wife was quite strong in whacking some of that down. How did you feel about the social media backlash? People telling you...
Was there a backlash?
People telling you, the way I read it, that you can't have a party in your own house in 2019.
I don't hold on to negativity, Howard. Right. I didn't see any of that. And as far as I'm concerned, everyone was very pleased.
Were the police called?
Production. Police were called early, 4:30 in the afternoon. The
I
police
found it a bit strange when it was midnight and I looked up to the house next door and there was kids as old as 4 and 5 looking down, wondering what was going on next door.
Well, the party finished at 10:30 noodles, so that says a lot about your recollections, and perhaps you were a little bit inebriated if you thought
it was. It was to me that it was the number one trending topic in Australia.
Juddchella.
Hashtag Juddchella.
And not, see, I don't operate on the social media platforms and not overwhelmingly positive towards Chris hosting the party. Were there people that.
There was
didn't
a small section of 70 or 80% of the community that didn't thought that maybe, to see the benefit
maybe it was a bit over the
what
top.
What was going on?
Just slightly out of whack with what everyone else in the community is doing. Really?
Hashtag number two.
That doesn't sound like.
Trending number two, hashtag tools. Is
really?
What I'm being told went on.
Our man as an elitist.
Yep.
Someone who's.
Howard's come some sort of keyboard warrior over the summer, has he? Just on top of everything that's going on social media, like
just,
some sort of
just
nothing.
That's what I heard.
Jody, just back to.
Sorry, Damien, you got a quick one, haven't you?
Your trip to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I have had it put to me that you were there for 4 nights.
That's correct, yes.
I have put to me that you did not see daylight.
Untrue. Untrue. I was at the tailgate party on Super Bowl day.
When it dusk.
Did you wind back the clock, did you?
Wow. I heard you won one of the early 2000 West Coast days.
Eagles 06 style.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
A bit of muscle memory from the glory days.
Eagles 06.
Hey? I enjoyed myself, Duke.
Fletchy and Cassie. Why would you go? Brawny.
It's a long, long, long way to go Miami for a 4-day hit.
Can you guys just keep it down? Duke's got a serious question here. Yeah, it's a long way to go, Duke. I've been passionate about the NFL for a serious amount of time. So your colleague's going to collect your thoughts. We are on air. Yeah, it's a long way to go, Duke, but
Guardian.
Some of us can dig deep and do that.
Were you
under instruction to only be there for a certain amount of days, trust-wise?
You're not trying to turn this around.
I'm
me not being in charge of my operations. No, you don't have to worry about that, Duke.
I think we'll take a break here. Marvel Stadium is the venue. The roof opened due to health issues here, so even if it was to pour down in Melbourne tonight, which doesn't look like it will, but there could be a little bit of rain around it. The roof will be open. The ground looking in fine condition as the Dogs get to take on the Pies.
Sorry, can I just back over that?
Yes.
The roof will stay open as a measure against having
correct.
Indoor,
yep.
I suppose. It's,
yep.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's a commitment to do that for all games played here, Dust.
I had caught up that
the
news.
Conditions.
Okay.
Yep.
So that will be happening. The full team is assembled. We'll get to Judge Juddy shortly because it is vital for your public well-being. You listen to that segment. But Damo, firstly, tuned in last night. My beautiful wife goes for the Blues, almost in tears when Matty Cruiser went
down.
Yeah. Slapped the ground in frustration. What's the latest on the big Carlton ruck?
It's bad news.
Is
it? It's a 16-week diagnosis for what has been diagnosed as a fractured metatarsal on his left foot. And you hear that word metatarsal used. And you know it's never, ever good, even if it's a smallish break. But it's not in Matty Cruiser's case. And Judge, he just cannot take a trick, that man, can he? From day one of his career through to this stage.
He's been wildly unlucky, hasn't he? He's a brilliant bloke and he's a great player. And he's hard as nails. And I knew as soon as he hit the ground when he was lying on the dirt after that ruck contest, I knew that was going to be something serious because that's the type of bloke he is. So disappointing for him and the club. But he'll be back from this and... He works incredibly hard with his rehab, so I'm sure we'll see him again later on this season.
The overall thoughts for you as a Carlton board member on what you saw last night?
We just let them get too far away, too early on in the game. I thought after that first 15 minutes where they were really effective going forward, we got in an arm wrestle and competed. I thought Jack Martin was brilliant. Paddy Cripps was great, as he so often is, and I thought Sam Doherty to come back and play like he did, I was incredibly pleased for him as well.
But Jacob Wiedering on Lynch was a great effort.
It was good, yeah, but just that first 15 minutes was the issue, I think.
The other thing, talking about the Tigers, is they are going to be unbelievably hard to beat if we get a full season in. I mean, they are so slick. They're military precision in the way they go about things. They just don't give sides air to breathe, and they just cough up the ball. They don't give it up after they get it back, and that forward line that they're they've got, the mosquito fleet around there, how quick they are going to be very hard to beat again.
Yeah, nice game of footy last night. We're expecting a very nice game. In fact, possibly game of the round tonight here between the Pies and the Western Bulldogs. I think we've waited long enough to ask. It's been a long summer without the Friday huddle and a long summer without
Looking forward to this
next segment.
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Juddy.
Well, they're interesting times, Howard, and I've actually chosen to take a serious approach for tonight's Judge Juddy.
Right.
Because such are the times, Duke. And I think the best on ground votes this week, they're going to go to innovation. And we know in 1664 there was the bubonic plague.
We do.
Which swept through London. Cambridge University was closed and students self-isolated during this time, Duke. And a young man called Isaac Newton came up with theories on optics, gravity and calculus in this time. We also know Shakespeare wrote King Lear while in quarantine.
Through the bubonic plague.
That was a different one for Shakespeare, yeah. But Isaac Newton was the bubonic plague. And to be honest, I've felt my own creativity going up, even though we're not quite in lockdown yet. But even with me, I've been coming up with some new ideas and plans. I've actually invented a new cocktail. It's called the Quarantini. And it's a martini that you drink it in quarantine. And
the quarantine. Yeah, 6 months.
6 months for a quarantini. Wow.
I actually quite liked it. I think it's pretty good.
That's my best one, Duke. So if you're not happy with that one, it's a slippery slope.
I think you stood down the staff right as a judge.
Pretty comfortable at my top five now.
Taking on his own.
The quarantini.
Jeez.
And one vote. I think we're running on the fly here. One vote. We've got an episode from earlier on. I think the big nose producer has some audio, which is a bit disturbing. Okay. It's an industry-wide problem from every single club, but the entire competition as well.
Put your hand up, you want to say something?
I was waving at Matty Lloyd in the next box. Sorry.
I mean, we know that now that Nate Brown's global supply of finasteride has run out, his hair's going to drop out. He's going to be looking like George Costanza too, but I think it's affecting his brain as well. And grave concerns for our man, Nate 08. Two votes for worst on ground this week go to the college students on spring break that aren't taking this crisis seriously. And the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, had this to say to them.
Yeah, I am at home, taking a jacuzzi, smoking a little stogie. I just finished a bike ride and a little bit of workout, and I just, you know, keep staying at home. I still see photographs and videos of people sitting in outside cafes all over the world and having a good time and hanging out in crowds. That is not wise, because that's how you can get the virus. So stay away from the crowds, go home, and then we can overcome this whole problem, this whole virus, in no time. But you got to go and follow those orders. Just remember, stay at home, don't go to crowds. Put that cookie down.
Put that cookie down.
Did you mention that he was sitting in a spa smoking a cigar at the time he was delivering that particular...
But that was clever, wasn't it? Because he knows a college student's not going to respond to a school teacher type, so he made himself look like someone that doesn't care about the rules too much himself.
Thanks, Arnold.
There was some...
you enjoyed that?
Some thought there, and we're going to finish on another serious one. We know this virus isn't going to affect everyone equally. Howard,
yep.
The current coronavirus situation. I've found the man who perhaps is going to be most impacted by it. This bloke started a small business in 1997. An old man was an immigrant from Cuba. He got divorced last year. And last month or so, he's lost $18 billion on the stock market. And I'm, of course, talking about Jeff Bezos. So if you think you're having a bad day, just think about Jeff Duke, because he's down to 110. And he's
That's stressful.
Tough. He's doing it
he's
tough.
He's lost 18.
Just on the financial world, obviously you are our guiding light in that area, Chris. Markets have been falling. People are concerned about their home loans, whether they're going to be retrenched. Have you just got any general financial advice for our listeners during these difficult times?
Well, no, other than it's incredibly stressful for everyone. We've got Jagged, which we founded, obviously, which is impacted, and I invest in markets for a living, which is going about as well as you'd expect, Howard. And And we're in a really good situation compared to so many people, particularly those in the service industry. So I don't have any advice. Just hang in there. No one knows where the bottom is yet. No, once we do know where the bottom is,
are you trading through this at the moment, or are you putting everything on hold? Or
I'm trying to trade through it, not very effectively, but I was up till about 3:30 last night, come out with plans, had a reasonably busy day.
And what's your general plan at this stage if you were working on it till 3:30? Just give us
what
a sort
of industries would you go to?
Give us an idea. We won't play this in 3 months' time.
Nobody should be taking this as financial advice.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
And I can show you my spreadsheets of what's happened in the last 6 months, why they shouldn't, because it's been a disaster. But longer term, over, say, a three-year period, I think gold will be higher than what it is today due to all the money printing that's going on by the central banks around the world and currency.
Gold it is. Nathan.
But no one should use that as financial.
Obviously, you're our Bitcoin expert.
Yep.
Are we getting involved in that paper?
Just a holder. You've got to hold. It's a long-term play, Howard.
Is it?
Yeah. I figured out that Bitcoin wasn't a short-term play a long time ago, so I am in. For the long haul, so...
How has that fared up in the past fortnight?
It's gone down like everything. It's bounced back in the last 2 days, but I think it lost half its value within 6 hours, I think, when the markets crashed about 9 days ago. And it's been around the same, and about a 16 to 17% jump today. But like everything, it's going down, and it's not good news, Duke. So you just got to hold, ride it out, and try and tough it out, eh?
There is a thing that when things crash... correlation is one, which means everything falls, because even if something shouldn't be falling, people need to sell it to pay for their loans and margin elsewhere. So that's sort of the phase we've been in. Now,
just one final question for you, Nate, as our sort of Bitcoin and horse racing expert. If you had your time again and you went back a week, do you think you'd review just burning our entire year's punting kitty in one wild weekend?
Well, we put $1,000 in, Howard, between all of us. And unfortunately, again, but what you guys don't know is that Snorkel in the back row there has access to the account, and he's the one placing all these bets. He always says, get a text message, my mate likes this, or my mate knows the trainer, or my mate knows the owner.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, all the money was gone.
Right. So our entire punting pool for the year is gone after one game of 153.
Yes, that is correct. Yep, we are down to zero, Howard.
It saves us having that weekly problem, Howie. It's all gone.
Damo, news floating around. Firstly, this game, any changes?
No changes to the announced teams. Bulldogs and Collingwood will play as selected, which does leave Tyler Brown into the Collingwood 22 for a debut game, which is it's a great story, isn't it? Son of Gavin and brother of Cal, so it's just a ripping story, that one. It just gets better. And
it's one of those weeks, Damo, that there's all these amazing stories, like Mad Jack Dore potentially playing football on Sunday. Any other week of the year, it's front page, back page, middle page. You're talking about Tyler Brown. There's so many stories, Darth, that are just getting sucked up in this virus vacuum.
Yeah, and even to extrapolate that even more, Callum Brown, who won the Gavin Brown Award last year at Collingwood for the most team-orientated person. I have two sons of Gavin Brown out there. Hmm. Josh Dacos, the son of the great Peter Dacos, Darcy Moore, Peter Moore. We know they've played before, but that history at Collingwood, they're some of the biggest names ever in the history of that football club. To have them all out there tonight, he's a great aspect to this and a great debut for the Bulldogs as well. I'm really looking forward to this young man who has been overlooked in five different drafts, Ben Cavera.
Yep.
And you know, for him to go through that, I love those adversity stories. Often when they get a foothold in the club, they've been through that much, you find you get a 150-game player out of it. So good luck to Ben Cavera tonight on debut for the Dogs.
And Alex Keith, obviously, and Josh Bruce playing their first games for the Dogs tonight. Howie, you said the potential of Mad Jack Dore to play for North Melbourne against St Kilda, confirmed selection tonight to play. So has not been seen on a senior AFL venue since the last round of 2018, had all the problems last year, and has now managed to get himself back into that North team to play St Kilda.
That is a tremendous football and more than football story, Chris. As I said, just gets lost in what's going on. It's just to see Magic out here on Sunday. Who are they playing, the Roos?
They're playing St Kilda.
Okay, which is a young man. King will make his debut as well. There's so much to be excited about, Duddy, and it's just sort of getting frittered away at the moment.
It is, but it will pass, Howard. But you touched on tonight. Tonight's game is a huge game. Dogs win the premiership for mine, just putting it out there.
Ooh.
I think we are looking at the best list in the competition.
And what day will the grand final be held?
No idea.
Okay. All right, Dogs to win the premiership.
It was a fast game last night, wasn't it?
I mean, high scoring.
Yeah, it was. And I think tonight, being here at Marvel Stadium, suits the Dogs. If it was at the MCG, I'd be tipping Collingwood. But because it's fast here, their midfield bats deep, they've got some players who can run and carry the footy, I think the Dogs are going to be hard to stop.
Bernie, what do you see happening with the changes? In every game this season, is going to be 16-minute quarters plus time on. That's locked in for the whole 153. What do you see that doing as a rule? And who does it favour most?
I think it favours clubs that can obviously score quickly and who can use the footy well. I mean, if you're going to turn the footy over in a short amount of time, you're going to get scored against heavily, because I think scoring becomes a little bit easier because there are shorter quarters. And what scoring is going to be this year with no crowd, I think goal scoring is going to be up. And I think if you look over the course of history, the last 20 years, I think if we do get a full season in, the percentage of goal scoring this year will be as high as it has ever been.
I think it helps young sides. Yeah. Cool. I think older sides often score later in the quarters. I think they know when to slow the game down. I think some of the younger sides will be able to sprint through quarters with a bit more speed and pace. And I think certainly the younger sides, and the Dogs are a team that really move the ball quickly and could capitalise on that.
And Dustin, the mindset of a coach traditionally is defence first, isn't it? These changes are going to allow them to not necessarily be that way as a starting point. Do you think they will all embrace it?
Occasionally you get a coach who is the exact opposite of that. And I think Luke Beveridge, that is his mantra. He loves to score, is all about ball movements, always tried to take the game on. A bit like Bomber Thompson when he revolutionised the game a few years ago that set Geelong onto their three premierships. He just said, you know what, I'm going to try and score more than the opposition. So there's a matchup I'd love to see tonight, and we might even get it. Aaron Norton, you know, 50 contested marks last year. Only three teenagers have ever done that in the history of the game. Big Lance Schnitzel, Nick Riewoldt and Aaron Norton. And he's one of the most exciting players. But if he plays on Darcy Moore, that'll be Peter Knight's Paul Vanderhaar, like, if those two go head-to-head. So
Van Schnitzel.
Big Lance, one of my favourite players ever, Big Lance. He was an absolute ripper. Did you play with Lance?
Missed out on by a year, I think.
Our first guest of the year on the Friday Huddle is the Collingwood CEO, who would have football and so many other things on his mind, like all of us at the moment. Mark Anderson joins us. Good evening to you, Mark. How are you going?
Good evening, and I'm really good, because it means we're playing a match of footy tonight, which is superb for all of us.
Which is absolutely what we all want, and I think it gave everyone a lift last night. Aside, Mark, from the health and well-being of your players and your club and your entire staff, as a CEO of the football club at the moment, what is your main concern, people's health and well-being aside, which goes without saying?
Yeah, look, I think it's a difficult answer to give succinctly, but we're considering a whole range of factors. So clearly this has never occurred ever. And so as we look at how we best respond, we've got to stay flexible. We're taking on a whole range of information and data to inform decisions, and that includes finances, it includes how we look after our people, includes how we continue to engage with our members, and that's been a key focus for us in ensuring, with our members and fans not able to come tonight and for the foreseeable future, how do we engage them as a club and make sure they feel connected and part of it all?
Mark, the completely collaborative approach from all aspects of the industry to allow the AFL Commission on Wednesday to commit to starting the season was something we haven't seen before. Just your view and your intelligence, and without wanting you to delve too deep into confidential conversations, what's your feel on how many of these 153 matches will get played before what is the inevitable pause being enforced?
Yeah, impossible to say, Damien, because we're in the lap of the gods a bit in terms of what does happen. So impossible to answer that, but I think two things. One, that's a great approach in terms of the number of games. So, again, being flexible and looking at how we get as many matches away as possible and not thinking about the traditional round-by-round approach. And so, you know, we go for as long as we can. If there's a pause, there's a pause, and we pick up again. But that's the approach. Let's get as many matches underway and completed as we can. And I think the other point, Damien, that you mentioned is the collaboration and just every single club and all of the footy community and decision makers buying in and just doing what we do to make it happen has been one of the key benefits and advantages out of a shocking situation.
Hey, Mark, one of the big hurdles to the season continuing is going to be if a player contracts this virus. I think we heard Gillen say today, 30 days, the legal going to shut down. Can you explain some of the links you're going to protect your Collingwood players from catching this?
Yeah, absolutely, Darth. And as soon as we knew it was an issue, we were on to that. And so what we've done within the club, we've actually got seven teams now part of Collingwood, but we've separated all the teams. So we've got separate training times, separate zones where they're training in the gym. We put a industrial clean through the place. And then there's all the personal things, protocols we've put in place as well. So there's so many measures that we've put in place. In reality, the football club, and I'm sure all footy clubs, are the safest place to be, because what we've put in place and the protocols we've put in place, unbelievably strict.
The I suppose that the manner in which everyone in the industry now, Mark, is reacting and as this situation unfolds. We had some commentary last night around the Richmond players. Again, they were the first people to attempt to play under these conditions, but late in the game they were sharing the same water bottles. Have you, as a CEO, put out an edict today to just change that? Again, it was innocent from what the Tigers did, but are we trying to just, dot the I and cross the T's on all these measures?
Yeah, look, certainly last night was the first time we've ever played in just bizarre circumstances. So it didn't matter which teams and which players were playing. There was always going to be learnings coming off the back of it, and there were. So today, you know, again, the whole industry and the AFL just reminded protocols and strengthened some protocols, and that includes, you know, not sharing water bottles, again, reducing contact as much as possible, just pre-match and post-match, just ensuring again that the distance protocols were responded to and adhered to. So a range of measures and a range of learnings off the back of last night, which was always going to happen.
Mark, just we'll let you go. Best of luck. We appreciate your time. You went to the Super Bowl. It was fantastic. I believe you saw Chris there. Eddie McGuire was there. Did you catch up with Luke Darcy at the Super Bowl or not?
I didn't see Darcy. No, I didn't know he was there.
But, yeah, disappointing, mate.
Yeah, correct. We'll catch each other at some other time.
We will. Next year, for sure. We'll be back, Howie.
Appreciate your time, Mark. Best of luck to you and the Pies tonight.
Thanks for that, and have a great call.
We need to fiddle a bit of time at various stages last year, Judge, and Nath introduced a segment called Top 5, which I presumed had died its natural death.
A couple of top sevens, if I recall correctly, too, where he tried to snip a couple of extra in.
So. They were good for a while, but come round 17 of the AFL season, I felt they were starting to...
5 minutes ago, when you were looking for something to talk about, I came up with the top five.
Mate,
and on the rotation, I think I finished it off last year, and that last one I did was really bad.
Well, as an experienced, probably the most experienced media operator in the box, would you have thought, coming back in 2020, I was away, but you guys had a four-hour production meeting over dinner, there was a lot of ideas thrown around... Did you discuss whether the top five was coming back, or did you come up with something to replace it?
No, we caught up to discuss the year ahead and then didn't discuss the year ahead.
Right.
And we got to this week and...
We didn't really discuss anything that night, did we?
So therefore, it is time for...
The Friday Huddle team sat down at their mahogany table to come up with the next big idea in radio. Then someone said...
Hey, what if we do a countdown?
This is the Friday Huddle's top five.
All right, Nath.
Where's the Duke gone?
Well, I don't know.
He's got him in the sights here, so I might leave him till a little bit later. But anyway, I thought about it. It's been a big off-season. There's been a lot going on. It's always the time where big calls are made, Judge. There's big calls about what's happening in the season coming up. There's just big calls everywhere.
Yes,
and we're all a part of it. We all make big calls. Yep. So I'm going to give you an example of somebody who's made a big call in the media, and then I'll have an example of one of us, just to say, you know, trying to punch up type things. I'm just bagging everybody else.
You're putting us in, so you're not actually just going to be accused of bagging everyone else in the media.
That's pretty much it.
It feels like big calls the word for the day, doesn't
saving
it?
Saving face.
It does.
We're the low-hanging fruit.
Here's number five in the top five big calls. Now, Daisy Pearce is new to the game in the AFL landscape.
I'm stepping away now.
And she came up with this.
Well, I started thinking about the argument of who's the best player ever to have played the game. I think Dustin Martin is the best player to have played the game.
Way! Now, that's what I call a big call, Howard. That is a very big call. Maybe Dusty, in a long time to come, maybe have the CV of the best player in the game, but he's not right now. And, Daisy, don't worry about it, because obviously sometimes we say things, we want them to come back, as we... we all say things that maybe...
She might be right, Brownie.
Maybe we want to get back in. Like when I said, you know, I played the best 10 games of ever. That is a big call. So, Daisy, I exactly know where you're coming from. The truth always goes down well.
Good start, mate.
So, number four, my great mate, and I've been mates with him for a long time, but Nick Riewoldt, on the theme of Dusty, said Dusty could kick 80 goals this year. 80 goals for Dusty. That is a massive year, Howard. The most he's ever kicked is 37 in a season. So,
right.
And I dug deeper into that, and I thought, Nick, he likes his records, Nick, and he's actually kicked 718 goals. His cousin, and they are very, very competitive, has kicked 631. So I'm trying to think that maybe he's directing the ball supply away from Jack and towards Dusty. Look.
Be cool.
I've got to bring this back to everybody, Dars. These are cool. Thanks for joining us, by the way.
Yeah. Not for you, but... Just getting a coffee.
Anyway,
you
top
didn't
five.
Miss much, trust
top
me.
Five.
This is top five. Yeah. Oh, didn't go away long enough.
Top five. You didn't see like it ended last year.
Big calls of the off season. There's massive calls. So the first one was Daisy Pierce saying that Dusty was the greatest player of all time, and I've just tied it back to one of us in here.
Okay.
So,
what have you got for me, Nat?
Well, Duke. When the AFL record comes out at the start of every year, it's a bit of a Bible that you go through. Back in 1994, the AFL season record, I had a look and they said, they made this call, this is a big call, that Luke Darcy was a ruckman. Now, after he played three games, he hadn't had a kick, a handball, or a tap out. So I just think they made a big call on where Luke Darcy was at that stage of his career.
He's done the top five maybe six times, and I think he's used that every single time.
And we've loved every consistency.
Number three big call of the summer goes to John Ralph. He said after two preseason games that Carlton are in massive trouble. Now, after last night, they were 50 points down. I tended to agree with Ralphie, but they came back, and it's a big call to make that somebody is in massive trouble after seeing two pre-season games. Now, the judge, you made a big call last year when you broke ranks, you went rogue, and you said, we want an experienced coach. We don't want someone with training wheels. That was a big call that didn't quite work out for
That's
you.
That's what we got.
Don't go there again, Brownie. Don't go there.
Lost his sense of humour, the judge.
Lost his sense of humour. Yeah,
been out of the game for 8 years.
Okay. Number two. The number two big call of the summer went to Big Max Gawn.
Oh, Max 12.
Who went with Bailey Fritch will win the Coleman medal this year.
Yeah, no, that's a decent.
Now, as you look at me, I don't even think you know who Bailey Fritch is. You think Fritch is some sort of SBS show late at night. But it's not. So that's a massive call by Max Gawn, which brings me to you, Howard.
Yes.
When it was announced that you were signing a deal with Fox Cricket, 6x6, you told us, and these were your words, that Fox had identified the best cricket media talent in the country.
I'll stick by that.
Now, Buzz Rothfield didn't even have in the top five. Top 25. That was a massive call by you, Howard.
Over the summer, guess who started following me on Twitter?
Who?
Buzz Rothfield.
Did he?
He's very nice. Okay.
He's on.
And the number one call over the summer was from David King. Now, I think he's a great analyst, David King.
Don't soften it, Brownie.
After one practice game, this was David King. Essendon are the new Richmond. They've had 500 metres gained in handballs. You got that, Howard? Essendon are the new Richmond. Now, he's not the only person to make big calls about the Tigers, because at around this time last year, you might recall the Tigers were on the back foot. Alex Rance had gone down. Things weren't looking quite rosy. And our very own Damien Barrett had this to say.
I'm going back to what I felt after round one when Alex Rance went down. I thought that was it there and then for the premiership perspective. Their past two have been dreadful. And I now back into that they can't win the flag.
It's a big call, Damo.
Yeah.
Because they won the flag.
Won it very easily.
They're the best side in it. So that is the big calls.
This could be a weekly segment for
them. It's a great top 25.
Do it every time.
Weeks, big calls for the week.
It puts time into it.
Is there any?
I particularly enjoyed yours, Duke.
Did you knock this off?
The AFL season record.
Did you knock this off Nathie Richardson or not? This
He might have done something similar during the
I just got a dance from Richo. I'm listening. He's plagiarised my whole segment.
No.
I just got a message going, can this guy be for real? He's knocked off my whole segment.
We do a podcast together. And it had some good moments in the podcast.
Extraordinary scenes here, Hal. What's happening?
It's raining, Hal.
Is there breaking news?
No. I was just asking our producer
waving again.
Whether we could get Richo on or whether he's contractually obligated otherwise. Yeah. Just hang on. So how much of that segment, put your microphone down, how much of that segment did you steal 100% from Richie?
Well, the five Richie. Of us, the five areas I went to, Damo saying that they could win the premiership.
Yeah, but the basis, that was the add-on.
Wheels, what about all the add-ons were
what
me.
About the Daisy Pierce, Nick Riewoldt, John Ralph, Max Gorn and David King?
No, I got the idea somewhere else for that. But they worked. You blokes are laughing and still talking about it. You're still wearing a Youth Boys 12 T-shirt.
There's something we might have to address on the other side of this break, Howie.
What's that? There's
been a breach of protocol by someone well known to the Triple M family, in fact, central to it, in fact, probably the founding member of it in many respects, and it needs to be addressed, and we'll have to do that, I think, in proper style.
We've got time.
We can do it now, can we?
We've got time.
I've got an idea of what you're talking about, because I've had the binoculars on him as well, and he's normally a stickler for people spending excess time out there in the middle. And
he's actually couched the phrase, you don't go on the green. Get off the green unless you're
an ex-player. Who are we talking about?
James Brayshaw, who was 25 metres onto the green. And not only that, was talking and clearly sucking up to the Channel 7 boss,
Lewis Martin.
So that's not
for an extended period of time too, Jim.
Be fair to say, if you ever were going to suck up to the boss, Damo, now's probably the
good
time.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you've been doing it for 6 months already. Because you finish it off now.
And because BT's no longer a part of it for the first 2 weeks, he's a self-isolating because he's come back from the States.
Is JB number two behind Bruce now? That's what it seems like.
Well, clearly, yeah. He called last night. He's calling tonight.
I've noticed, though, that Brian is putting something out on social media every day just to make sure he stays relevant within the football community.
No.
He's doing an update every day from his 14-day isolation where he's been filming his show with Greg Norman. Holy moly.
They didn't film it.
They didn't film it.
Got rained out.
Did it?
Got rained out.
Surely it was indoors.
I've got grave concerns for Brian in isolation. He will not cope well down on the self-contained farm down there at Lawton. He's one to watch, BT, over the coming weeks.
Well, he gave a full update of his day yesterday, a 45-second video and 7 seconds in I swiped. So we might try and get a bit of what Brian's been up to on social media next.
He will hate, though, JB, calling last night and tonight when he's down at Lawton.
Is that really the case? I know you've
been hate 100%. He will be trying to undermine. I'm filling in.
He'll be texting Lewis right now.
I spoke to him yesterday, and I'm doing his shift on Sunday. Sunday foot on channel. So everyone's taking every shift you can get at the moment. And he said, just picture me watching and a big knife going in your back and twisting as you're calling. So he's dead serious.
Update, you know, hashtag, he's calling his little daily updates, hashtag ISO Brian is what he's calling. Hey, well done to Luke Hodge last night on 7 foot. He did fantastically well. A new inclusion, the obvious question for anyone that works in media, when Luke Hodge comes in and starts the Thursday night as the number one man, in there, who's been shuffled back?
Well, that's not an obvious question because I think getting an outstanding
pretty obvious for me.
Person into the game is always fantastic.
Who's been pushed, Duke?
There's been no pushing at all from what I understand.
There's about 30 less games.
Although, when you get a bit of an insight when you do the team photo at the start of the year and you go and you get there and no one ever says where you stand or who goes down the front, so a few people sort of wander up the front and they're like, just back left for you, champ. They could hardly see me in that photo. It's not a good sign. Even Basil was closer to the front than I was, which was no good at all. He was pushing me out the way. So it might be me who's on the. I reckon everyone's starting to tighten their belt a little bit. I noticed Brownie's brought in just a little half server pasta tonight.
Juddy brought in some banana bread with butter on it in his kid's lunchbox.
Duke's hoarding the waters. Duke's hoarding the free waters. I've seen him walking with six waters.
I saw Duke go out to the toilet before and start toilet rolling and doing better.
Duke.
And judging by the judge's shoes, his budget's changed a bit as well. That's straight from an op shop, those things.
Happens quickly.
And a legend. In fact, you should introduce this man, Chris Grant, because you know him far better than I.
Well, he's simply the best player that had the privilege of playing with, one of the all-time greats in any era. Probably should be a two-time Brownlow medal winner, Howie, if all things were equal. And he now has the role of the football manager at the Bulldogs. I'm speaking of the great Chris Grant. Welcome to you, Granny.
G'day, everybody. And Darf, thanks for that nice intro. It's been a week where I could do with a bit of positivity, to be honest.
How is the group holding up, Grant, in unique times? The coach has got a lateral way of thinking in general, Luke Beveridge. He comes at the world from different angles. What's he sort of, I suppose, been imparting on the group in, as we know, an incredible time for everyone?
Yeah, it's certainly been a difficult time. There's no doubt about that. I think all clubs and the industry have been working incredibly hard over the course of the last couple of weeks, particularly this week, to facilitate an opportunity for games to be played. And that was not as known, as you know, until late on Wednesday. So I guess for us, we had the opportunity of having 48 hours leeway, whereas the Tigers and the Blues boys and their clubs only had 24 hours. So Bevo's been incredibly positive. As you know, he is a glass half full type of person, and he attacks everything that way. So I guess in the messaging over the course of this week is when we're playing, and this is what we do. And if we're not, they'll tell us. So it's been pretty simple the way that he's messaged the boys.
Granny, recovery is such a big thing in AFL footy, and I know it's only round one, but from week to week, the players have so many massages, they see physios, they see chiropractors, there's so much hands on a player at the moment. How is all that being done?
Yeah, well, in some ways it conflicts with what we're all trying to do in our own lives and our communities, doesn't it? So it's it is in some ways a lot more difficult to manage. You know, I think the fact that we're lucky to be playing games, we've got to be absolutely strict. We've got that privilege to be able to uphold as much as the messaging as we possibly can in the protocol. So around massage in particular, all of our medical team, trainers, masseurs are wearing gloves at all times. As soon as they have consulted with one player, gloves are removed, new ones are put on, and we start the process again. So you can imagine how many layers to this there is in managing the protocols around the actual virus itself. But we've got to play our part. I mean, the reality is the game is a physical game, and that's a part that probably in the minds of a lot conflicts with the protocols that the Prime Minister Down has been handing down. But I think the privilege of being able to play something for the community, keep the industry going, whilst it will be impacted significantly, we've got to play our part where we can. And, I think the reality that we all saw was, changing learnt behaviour is really difficult in a short space of time. And, the Tigers and the Blues boys, that was all outlaid before them, before their game. But you can see how difficult it is to stop, just natural human behaviour, particularly when you're a close, tight bunch of players.
It's a great word you use, privilege, Granny, because most of this country is locked down. They're in their houses. They're self-isolating, yet the players get out to go out and play what they love doing at the moment out on the field, and I think it's a great privilege for them. How are the players handling that privilege?
Well, as well as I think that they can, Granny, there's no rule book to this. I mean, you've heard that many times today in your own lives. For you guys in the commentary box, but also for everyone at home listening, that part of being able to process it all has been incredibly difficult. For our players, I think it's sort of contained into sort of two elements. One is when you're at the club, train as well as you possibly can, taking into consideration that, the keeping away as much as you can. But then in every other aspect, the part that you can control away from the physical nature of the game, we've got to be able to play our part there. So I think they're dealing with it as well as they possibly can. I think you saw with both the teams last night, Richmond were on fire, really, and then Carlton came back really well. So I think we saw that those two playing groups were able to get their head around it pretty well. We hope that the two teams, and particularly the Dogs, can do that tonight.
And Chris, just to continue that privilege theme, you as a club had the privilege to tell a person who's playing his first game, someone who's toiled around the VFL and done it the hard way in Ben Cavara. That must have been a special moment for you, equally for him.
Yeah, no doubt. And also very strange because, you're dealing with someone being able to play their first game of football, and as you say, he hasn't done it the normal way. He's done it the hard way and had to wait for his opportunity even just to get on an AFL list. And now he's in his second year and gets the opportunity to play in his first game at AFL level. But you think about all the other little layers to it of, family being able to come into the club and to have the jumper presentation with the family and the family to tell a small story about the player and for them to, work through that that emotion with the player. It's all very different. I think it's great that the AFL have provided an opportunity for the debutant families to be able to attend the game. But again, different. Can't come into the rooms. And each of those have to sit up in a corporate box tonight away from the playing group. So very, very different. But he certainly won't forget it either because of all of that.
Chris, we need to let you go. We're speaking to Chris Grant on Triple M Footy, Bulldogs Director of Footy. Just very, very quickly, word coming out of Geelong that if they win tomorrow night against GWS, they won't sing the song. Apparently Collingwood saying the same approach with social distancing. Any word from the Bulldogs? I'm putting you on the spot there at this stage if you win the game tonight.
No, Howie, we're actually really keen to sing it. And we think it's not only important for the morale of our group, but also the employees of the club, but definitely for the supporters and the members at home watching. We just need to think about how we actually do that. But if we win, we'll be pretty excited and be more than happy to come into the rooms and sing it.
Spot on. Well, I hope you get to sing the song tonight. Chris, best luck to you, the football club and all your families.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Granny.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.